Okay, let's take a look deeper. He came along with Abraham on verse 4, and the Bible mentioned to us that he is actually the nephew of Abraham, the son of Haran, the brother of Abraham. They came out from Haran. So the story was like this. The story of Abraham was actually started not on Genesis chapter 12, but on the book of Acts chapter 7. Chapter 12, he already went out on his journey to the land of Canaan, but he started from the city of Haran, which is at the end of chapter 11, the last few verses. It talks about Terah was there and passed away, and after he passed away, then God came and talked again. God came and called Abraham again. Then he went out from Haran to go to the land of Canaan. But actually, he was called since he was in the Ur, the Chaldeans' land, back in the country of what we call now Iraq. Okay, but the one who pulled him out there was not his obedience to God. That God called him, then he went out directly. He was just like many of us that didn't want to go, even though it's a short mission trip. We better stay back. So Abraham was the same as well, because it's not easy, even in our age now, in our time, to go out somewhere is not as simple as we think. Even then, this in the primitive world, that they have to leave everything behind. So Abraham did not go out until chapter 12 of the book of Genesis, when he was already at Haran. But when he went out, he brought Lot to come with him. Well, in one sense, it's kind of like a Chinese family, that they don't want to leave everybody behind. Especially in that situation, in that city of Haran, when Terah passed away, Abraham will go out with his wife, and then will leave Lot by himself there. Clearly, it says in the verse 2 and 3, even verse 1, I think, Genesis chapter 12, the Lord say, go out from your kingdom, go out from your relatives. God actually said to Abraham, don't bring anybody else except your wife. But Lot was brought by Abraham. I guess in a sense that Abraham is a really good uncle, you can say like that. He is very keen to his family, and he is very nice, and he doesn't want to leave anybody behind. He's kind of like, maybe God is okay with that. He says, why did you come along with me? So he was brought by Abraham to go out, but less than one chapter, we found out that Lot was just in trouble to Abraham. Well, he was not that kind of bad guy, actually. He was just a very good businessman. A young man, this is the way I see, a young man that full of potential and could not be hauled back into one small house, kind of like that. Could you imagine that if Pastor Paul have a nephew from somewhere in the village of Korea, which is, Korea probably is okay, Malaysia, well, let's take the sample of Kit's family. Kit is the son of, you know, the family. I just noticed that book, so my presence was already here before me, because I translate this book.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I was like, I was here already. So if there is a nephew, your cousins from another, maybe just say from your parents, dad's family, somewhere in Malaysia, and then your dad called the nephew, why don't you come to Australia, come live with me, you might be as successful as me. You know, we the Chinese, the Asian people like to bring our family, our relatives to come along with us, especially if we think that we are successful. So this nephew will come, and then less than a year, you could see that the nephew got a lot of potential. Just to cut the short story, maybe this nephew will come to work at the bank or do a trading or a stock, something like that. Less than a year, he could make a lot of money, even more than you. What you imagine if all in a sudden in the house, this nephew will say like this, I don't like the chicken you cook. I mean, a few months before, he will eat anything, but now because he got so much money, he directly say something like that. You, and then because he made more money than you, but still stay within the house, you can like, you cannot really oppose what he say, because he got more money now. Maybe we need to hear from him, kind of like that. You know, the money talks. This is what happened actually in Genesis chapter 13. It's kind of, if you notice, in the first few verses, it says like Abraham got a lot of wealth, But in, I think, verse 6, it's almost say Lot got a lot over there. And there was this quarrel between the shepherd people of Lot against the shepherd people of Abraham. And the shepherd people say, like, this is also owned by us. Who say that we cannot feed our flocks here? So it's kind of like his Lot's people start to come against Abraham's people only because they could see now that their master is at least as big as Abraham. So less than one chapter, this young man, Lot, able to equal Abraham with one level of the wealth itself. Okay, that's actually the quarrel happening. And through the quarrel, we could see next one, that Abraham step up and say, no, that's not good. We are relatives. We are family. We should not fight to each other. This is a very good uncle. I couldn't imagine in the Chinese family, I would slap my baby. If the baby comes against me, I don't care if you make more money than me. You should get out. But then Abraham said, like, oh, no. In King James Version, it's actually really interesting because it says, like, that we are brethren. When it says we are brethren, I remember our I don't know here, but in my country, the bro, you know, you're my brother. But it becomes a term that we use in WhatsApp, in term, hi bro, how, what's up, kind of like that. I kind of feel like Abraham said to his nephew, now, we are bro, don't fight. We are bro. So Abraham say, how about this? You choose what you want. Okay, if you go left, I go right. If you choose right, I go left. Okay? Funny to me because this is the way, don't get offended, don't get racist, but sometimes I kind of like to put these thoughts. Who more Chinese than the Chinese people? The Jewish people. don't get offended, I'm sorry. But if it is a Chinese family, Lot should not choose first.
Yes.
He's supposed to let the uncle, the older people, choose first. In my family, my son understand, if we eat together in the dining table, he should not scoop the chicken or the fish or the meat for himself unless I've already done it to my plate, or if he happened to hold the spoon first, and then he needs to serve me first before he picks something for him. That's what we call manners and culture in my family. This is not Chinese family. So Lot directly say, the Lord directly stood up and choose for himself, first time, Genesis chapter 13, look to the best part of the land and say to Abraham, I'll go there. And he chose the valley of Jordan, which is the location of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible say that he chose that place because it looks like the Garden of Eden. First, second, it looks like Egypt. One time, if I could have another time to opportunity to share, I will talk about be careful with this Egypt. Once you go there, you could really rob your spiritual life. It's scary. This is what happened to Lot, and they just came back from Egypt. Okay? And remember, because they were in Egypt, Hagar was there in the family. I wish Abraham never went to Egypt. And the second generation, Isaac actually, when the famine happened, because the famine always happened in every generation. The good thing about Isaac, he asked the Lord first before he did something. And the Lord said, do not go to Egypt. Do not go to Egypt because, you know, your father went to Egypt, you got Hagar, and now we are the one that suffered. Maybe not really you, but at least me in Indonesia. I live in the most populated Muslim country in the world. That's all because Abraham falls. So, he chose that place, and the Bible says in verse 12, okay, Genesis chapter 13, this is in King James translation, it says like, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. In Indonesian translation, it just only say that he pitched his tent close to Sodom, in a big open field, close to Sodom, but in King James it says, towards Sodom he pitched his tent. In a sense like, every time he get up in the morning, the first thing he will see is Sodom. The last thing he will see before he went to sleep is Sodom. He's really focused. See, his mind is not blind. He knows how to use his physical eyes. He knows how to redirect everything. He got this vision, big vision. He's not just only conquering Abraham. One chapter after that, verse 14, verse 12, the same verse of chapter 13 as before, he already dwelt in Sodom. Very quick. We like this. You know, the acceleration. We all love the acceleration message. And Lot experienced that. Abraham never did experience that acceleration. I'll tell you later. But Lot experienced that. It's just like one step at a time, but very quick. He's climbing up really quick. He got everything he wants. And of course, it's like, if I will tell, may I know where I'm coming from?
Malaysia.
Malaysia as well. Which part?
Penang.
Penang, okay. I know Subang, I know Klang, I know Kuala Lumpur. Penang is a good place, it's a tourist place. But if you have an opportunity to choose between Sydney and Penang, which one do you choose?
Penang.
He's Australian, don't listen to him. Yeah, Asian. Oh, don't involve God here. Just only your thinking, your decision, which one do you want to choose? Or don't ask him. Don't ask her. She's beyond the age of... how about you? Where are you coming from originally?
Sydney.
Sydney. So you grew up, you were born here and grew up here already?
Yeah.
Have you ever been into a smaller village?
Yeah.
If, don't ask God's will, but if it is your will, have you would like to be moved to a smaller village and leave Sydney behind? No? Never?
Yeah, could.
Many of us will not go for this smaller village, or if we come from a small village, we always want to go to this big city.
Yeah.
Okay? Even though we know that big city is very sinful city. See, this is the same situation with Lot, actually. Okay? As I say to you, that he could equal Abraham really quick, level up Abraham on his wealth, he must be having this potential of very skillful businessman. And he needs a bigger city to accommodate his skillness, his skillful thing within himself. That's why he chose this Sodom and Gomorrah. If you notice in chapter 13, it is actually, the Bible kept saying that that was the place of Sodom and Gomorrah, a wicked city, a city that's really full of sin. The Bible keep mentioning to us, in other words, actually Lot as well already knew about it, but he's still going there. Why? Well, his focus, his vision is to be successful, to be as having as much as possible, to be on top of this life, he will do everything. So in chapter 14, he not just only outside Sodom, he's already inside Sodom. Chapter 14 is a story about a war that happening in the city. And the king of Sodom lost the war. And Lot was taken captive. It's supposed to be as a warning already. But Lot then continued living in that city. Must be there's a lot of change here. Okay? Because this is a big war, and the only one that could happen to stop the war or beat the one who beat Sodom was Abraham with 315 people that was born from his tent. This is the story where we came to know about the tithe, the king of Shalom, the king of Jerusalem, Melchizedek, who received the tithe from Abraham. This is all going on here. But particularly in verse 12, it says Lot was dwelling already there. Okay, verse 19, five chapters next. Verse 1. Okay, it is a story of Sodom being destroyed. God sent two angels to save Lot. Why God saved Lot? Because God, as bad as Lot could be, okay, as much as he wants the money only, not God, okay, God still keep his promise that Lot is a righteous person. And because he is called as a righteous person by God, God will still send, see how gracious our God, who will still send angels to save Lot. Okay, he sent two angels to save Lot. The Bible say, the Lord welcome when the Lord, well, not the Lord, when Lot saw, yeah, I kept saying the Lord. When Lot saw these two angels coming, he stood up because he was sitting in the gate, at the gate of Sodom. Okay, the word at the gate, not here, at the gate here, really means something actually. That it is not just only like we like to sit down in front of the door out there smoking and talking. It's not like that. It has a real meaning here. That Lot part of the government of Sodom. You know what it means, Ecclesia? It's a group of people that being called out to watch over the city. This group of people back then was called in the Greek term as Ecclesia, which now been translated as church. They are the one who govern the city. Whoever sit down on the gate was the one who determined the goodness of the city. If they decide a bad thing to come into the city will become a bad city. If they decide a good thing, the city will become a good one. Okay, so they were the one that what we call now as the people representative, or the mayor office, or whatever government office that we have now. Okay, but remember this: the ecclesia, we as church are called to govern. Actually, of course, through our prayer, through our service, through our relating to people. Okay, that we are the spiritual governor of the city, and Lot was sitting at the gate of Sodom back then. He saw the two angels, he stood up and welcomed the angels. Okay? So Lot was not just only moved away from Abraham. He moved physically toward Sodom. Now he is in Sodom. Here he is already part of the government. If you notice, let me tell you this. If you notice, I don't know if you really pay attention. Welcome, come. Oh, we got two more people. This is a very big city. Kid mentioned to me that you can drive 90 minutes from the east to the west and you're still in city. See? In my country, I've noticed, because it's not really so big territorial size, but more the population, we have noticed that a lot of rich people, once they got really rich, they got really on the top, the next thing they will do is they will give themselves to be elected to govern the city, either as the people's representative or to becoming the mayor or vice mayor or the governor or whatever. But it really tells us that they are already satisfied with the wealth, now they're chasing the power. That's what happened with Lot here. And Lot was part of the city. Because he got really rich over here. He got really successful. The business grows really well. Okay? Okay, next. That's what happened with Lot. Now chapter 19. Sodom destroyed. Okay? First one, God saved the Lot by sending the two angels. But verse 16 says he hesitated. Why? The Bible clearly say to us, the angels were in that room. Okay, the angels say we need to get out tonight. At least probably the latest we have to get out 4 or 5 o'clock. But God is sending the fire already now. You should get out. The Bible say they hesitated to go out. It's in Nation translation, it's interesting because it says like this. He purposely slowing down the process to go out. Can you imagine? So what caused Lot to do that? Of course, I put everything here. This is one of my very first slides, so there's no animation. It's all come out at once. Okay? His heart attached to the world. At the end, we can see verse 26, he lost his wife because his wife became the pillar of salt. Okay? But the Bible says like this. Starting to get really hot. You never follow your money never follow you, right? You are the one that will follow your money. That's really true because the Bible say wherever your
heart is.
Don't get it the other side. The other way around. Don't get it the other way around. I was about to say the other way around to see if you read the Bible or not. But the Bible says wherever your treasure is, there is your heart. Okay, so you never fall, your money will never follow you. You are the one who will follow your money. And Lord God, a lot of money He put into the city. Okay, don't mention about that. I always move, where's kid? I always move. In my life, I have lived in Newton, Wichita, in the United States. I've lived in Makassar, Sulawesi. I've lived in Solo, Jawa Tengah, Central Java. I live in Semarang now. I used to live in Batam, close to Singapore. When we live in Batam, I go to pee in Singapore and come back. Because it's so close. Okay? We live in these many different cities. I understand what it costs to move. I used to have a duffel bag because I'm a YWAM. YWAM, so I have this from here to this duffel bag, this size and this tall. I can put all my clothing, my son's clothing, in one duffel bag. We carry that. We can just that and go to the plane and fly. My wife's 3 duffel bags is still not enough for her own. So could you imagine what happened that night when Lord said to his family, hey, I'll introduce you, these 2 angels got sent to take us out from the city. What do you mean? Then the wife started to raise her voice. What do you mean? God will destroy the city. Oh, wait. You know, how should I pack everything? And maybe towards the end of that conversation, the wife will probably even say, like, I'm not saying this to talk about our spouse, but let me tell you this. Maybe she say like this, why God did not send 20 angels? He only sent 2 angels? You know, God, so many things to carry. How about your car? You just bought that new Mercedes? Who will drive that out? I can drive the BMW, you can drive the Lexus, but how about our brand new Mercedes? The angels will drive it. He needs to send more. Maybe one of them will probably also say, hey, God will destroy the city? Wait. Pastor Paul has not come to bless our new brand house, which is in the suburb area of Sydney. They're really nice. Let's pray. Let me tell you, if we pray when God was about to destroy the city, it's too late. It's too late. Don't pray. Just surrender your life. Because your prayer will not help. And many times, if the trouble comes and then we started to pray, those kind of prayer will not be answered. Why? It does not come out from the faith. It comes out from the fear. And nothing will be answered if you pray by fear. Only by faith. It's a bit too late to grasp this faith and give a good faith. No. Where your heart is, this is the same first. Matthew 6:21, same with Luke 12:34. Psalm 62, verse 10, careful when it increases. Watch your heart when your treasure got increases. One time in the annual switching service between the old year and the new year, I got this verse, 62:10. It says literally, be careful when your wealth got increases. Don't let your heart be attached to it. I kind of skip the warning section by telling my wife God will bless me. Was actually a warning first. You gotta be careful. If you have more money than yesterday, one thing you have to pay attention, don't let your heart be attached to it. We all nodding like this. But do you know what it takes to let your heart not being attached to it? Learn to give more.
Yes.
If you don't want to give more, you just increase your lifestyle. Huh? Your heart already attached to it. So careful with this. This is really a warning from the Lord. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, do not love the world. See this, I got this also from Instagram. But it's a talk. If the rapture was today, how hard God will have to tuck it. Yeah, we all laugh, but we got so attached to this world. We have a very good life that we are not willing to let go. See, this verse is a key verse in this chapter 19. He hesitated. Okay, I'll come back to here, but what Lot actually means in his life? I'll come back to this verse, to this section as well. What we miss from Lot? He achieved so many things in his life. He became part of the governors of Sodom. He was not just only got a lot of money, a lot of wealth. He could accumulate so much, but he became a very powerful person as well. That's a real blessing, actually. I mean, notice if Sydney is governed by a righteous person, but it was at the same moment, the same period of time where God destroyed Sydney, then you need to really question who governed you. In a sense, if it is a righteous person, there must be something wrong with that guy. Okay, that happened with Lot. So what Lot actually missed in his life? Okay? Let me show this to you. We have to compare him to his uncle, though. We cannot escape Abraham in this case. Wherever he went, he will establish an altar. That's the story of Abraham. If you notice, Abraham is actually as busy as Lot, even busier probably, because Abraham is not just only what time shall I finish for this first
seven.
Session?
Seven.
Mm. Oh, okay. We can finish it earlier?
Inconsistently.
And then so we can have more time for the second session? Kind of like that, we started earlier for the next session?
People will come probably at about 7:30, those who come to the second
session.
Okay,
okay, so, I see. Yeah. And the second session will be finished by 9, is it?
9:30.
9:30, oh! Oh, I got more than 3 hours. Okay. So I don't have to rush here.
You don't have to rush.
I can go slow. He is a very, very busy guy. He's not just only a father of Isaac. He's a father of Ishmael first, Isaac second, and several children after that. Because he got the third wife, Keturah. He got so many children. He's not a father, he's not a husband of one wife. The other day in kids' in-law family, his mother-in-law asked me these questions. What do you think about this family in the Old Testament? They got so many wives. What God will say about it? I don't know what God will say about it, to be honest. Because it's clearly mentioned that a man shall leave his family to marry one woman only. And if you read the New Testament, it's so clear that Paul mentioned that if you happen to have a family in the church that has the husband got more than one wife, you should welcome them, but not to become a leader, because the leader should have only one wife. So it's kind of, but only one character in the Old Testament that got only one wife, which is Isaac, not his father, not his sons, not everybody after him. So that's why they say Isaac is the very perfect example of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Not just only because Abraham represents God the Father and he should represent God the Son, but he, as the Son, he got only one wife. Okay? And this Abraham got at least 3 wives. One wife is trouble enough for me. I don't know how Abraham could handle these 3 wives. So he must be really busy. He's also a trader, a shepherd. He does a lot of business. He does a lot of buying and selling. He buys land. He's a property guy. But every time the Bible talks about Abraham, if you notice every passage, it keeps talking about his fellowship, conversation with the Lord. And they always come to this, that he built an altar where he called upon the names of the Lord, the name of the Lord,
Amen.
Yahweh. He called El Shaddai, he called whatever name, okay? But he called the name of God there. He's always talk about altar. Of course, we don't do altar now. If you do altar, don't forget to call me. It's a barbecue party. But the altar Well, we know the altar has been finished and complete through the death of Jesus Christ. He is our sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of our sin and our redemption. But the altar, every time it speaks about the altar, the Old Testament or sometimes New Testament will talk about it too. It will talk about our Christian life, our especially our prayer life. Okay, now are we ready? Are we ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, first was written to indicate Lord ever built an altar. Why do you follow Pastor Paul? Why do you become a member of his church?
Because he's a man of prayer.
Will you do the same thing?
Yes.
Yes, that's very good. Lot followed Abraham. Lot was not supposed to be called. None of us here will probably have the same calling of Abraham, either Pastor Paul. But we should not have that kind of calling if we could follow the example of their prayer life. Will also succeed. Well, Lord showed us here that he could succeed without the prayer. He could be on top of the world without the prayer. But you know what? At the end of the day, he lost all his wealth in one night, all his properties in one night. He lost his wife, becoming the pillar of salt. He even gave birth to two nemesis. This is the way I call it, because you know, they run away to Zoar and live in the cave for a while. The two daughters make the father drunk, and the first one slept with the father, gave birth to Moab, and the other one gave birth to Ammon, the second daughter. This Moab and Ammon was two of the great enemies of the people of the promise, which is Israel. You don't want your generation to become the enemy of the people of God. This will happen to Lot. So if Lot could achieve so much, got a lot of things, at the end of the day, he lost everything in one night, even his wife becoming pillar of salt. We could clearly see she became the key pillar of salt. Why? Because the Bible says when they ran away, she kept looking back. Oh, that's the reason. We cannot look back. We cannot look back to the past. We cannot look back to... But why she kept looking back? Her heart was there. The money was destroying there. Maybe the cash we cannot bring so much. We could carry as much as possible, maybe in the pocket and some, you know, some of the bags, but the rest, most of it, there. That's why she kept turning. Okay, this is not really good. Only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Only 5 of us men here. But this is supposed to be for the men, not for the women. Because I would say the next thing, you man, not working too much. You gotta pray.
Amen.
You like it or not, don't tell me. My wife will pray for me. This is what happened. If you concentrate so much of making money, who is the one that will become more materialistic than you? Your wife. One of the purpose, so the wife will keep the money for the husband, kind of like that, guard the money for the husband. But if you will give yourself to the money, imagine your wealth will get sucked so much to it. And that's what happened to Lot's wife. It's not purely her fault that she became the pillars of salt by keep looking back, but because of the husband as well. If the husband will not pray and only work, that's what happened. You can have so many things, but at the end of the day, that's what happened to you. That's a big responsibility, man, because we have to work to provide for our family. What else? We have to watch the kids. We have to help the wife from the kitchen. You know what I mean? You also have to pray. You cannot substitute yourself. Even as a pastor, I would say, don't just only have a good team of prayer. You yourself, as a pastor, needs to pray. Amen. You cannot lead the flock without have the right guidance from the Lord, where you should receive directly on your own first. Amen. As for the family, how will we to become the head of the family if we don't pray? We are the one that should pray. That's our first responsibility. I even believe that comes first before we as the provider in the family. You cannot be a provider, a good provider, unless God bless you. And how to get God's blessing? You should pray. Let's talk here about the prayer. I mentioned this on the Sunday service, but Jesus himself said, we should pray 1 hour a day, at least. When he was telling us, he told in that passage, if you read, where he said that, he actually said 3 times, because he kept coming back to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray around 1 hour, and he came back actually 3 times. So he literally prayed at least 2 hours or 3 hours before facing the cross. This is our God, Jesus Christ, Son of God, that has so good connection with the Lord, the Father, God the Father. If he will still need so much of a prayer, who are you that think that you don't need that a lot of prayer things? Like I quote this in Sunday service, before he walked on water, he prayed all night. Remember, he told the disciples, you go first, I go up to pray. He prayed all night before he, by 3 a.m., he walked on water, reaching out and help the disciples that were about to sink in a big storm in the middle of the night. He prayed all night. He prayed all night before he chose 12 of his disciples. We so dare to choose 12 of our disciples even without a prayer. If Jesus himself, after praying all night, chose 12 of disciples, one of them betrayed him. Could you imagine if 12 of your disciples will betray you? Only because you missed the prayer. Yes, we can pray anywhere, anytime, according to John chapter 4. Okay? And the one who should worship him in spirit and truth. That's right. I agree to that. But every time Jesus talks about prayer, he always mentions, go into your room and lock yourself. Amen. We still do the locking, but we update our Facebook status and say, I pray. That's not a prayer. All the answer you will get is the likes. And that's all. Because the Bible also mentions, not just in the locking yourself, the Bible also mentions, Jesus say, whatever hidden in secret, God will answer. So not just only lock the door, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone about prayer, your prayer life. But we should pray. Yes. We should really pray, not according to what you heard from me tonight, but according to what Jesus said.
Amen.
At least let me ask you, you should have this altar. Altar is not an, it's not as, this is not an altar, this is just only a bench, okay? An altar is like from that lady all the way probably from to here at least, as wide as this, probably as tall as this, where, because an altar, you need to put a lamb or a cow or a goat, and it should be strong enough to hold it with the fire, with the wood, everything. It cannot fall down easily, and it should made by not woods but by stones that they put one after another. And Lot was there helping Abraham. Imagine, Lot saw what's going on. But most likely, like most of us, the nominal Christian, we will say, prayer is too hard. That's not my portion. I paid my tithe already. It should give enough for Pastor Paul. He should remember me. Yeah, you better pay more. So he will remember you really in your prayer. But you cannot substitute your money with that prayer thing. Lot saw that. Lot was even, I believe, helping Abraham set up the altar. Was there at the ritual. But why there was no verses showing that Lot ever built his own altar? You know, that spiritual blindness is a lot more dangerous than a physical blindness. If you don't have the altar, most likely your spiritual eyes are blind. Because this is where we learn to do this one. Close our eyes and start to pray. Why do you have to close our physical eyes? There's no verse in the Bible mentioning that you have to close your eyes when you pray. But it's been taught since our Sunday school group when we were kids. Well, I don't know why, but that's telling us something for sure. You need to learn to close your physical eyes in order to open your spiritual eyes. Mm-hmm. Because many times we cannot see God unless everything is dark around us. And one of the way to get everything dark around us, I pray that we all experience a very bad storm in our life. That will bring you to your knee to pray. If there is no storm, will you pray? I have this picture. Who will pray here? Who will pray here if he will still got so much or enough at least in his bank account? But if he knows that it already surpasses, go lower than the boundaries or close to zero, then we will start to pray, is it? True or not? So Jesus speak from heaven, oh, you come to pray again. Money must be born. But this is a real fact that happening. You know one way to get really quick to pray? Is there any collection here? Collection basket? Pull out your money from your wallet, put it in here. I'm not talking about your bank account, just your money that you got in your wallet. The first thing you will say like this, oh God, what shall I eat tonight? Or how shall I go home? That's already a prayer actually. Right? As simple as that. But many of us will not come to Him unless money gone. That's one of the reason God allows such evil things happening in our life. As I even believe that's one of the main reasons. So you can draw to Him and do the prayer. You don't like me talking like this, but this is the real fact happening in everyone's life. You know why God say no to our prayer? Or wait at least. If we ask something of Him, God. You know, last night I woke up. I could not sleep again. This is the night happening. Every 11 p.m. I'll woke up and I was like, even last night, I still remember the time. 10:59. I kind of refused to pray, kid. I didn't pray until like almost 11:30. Because I really would like to go sleep. I said, God, this is already the third night. I would like to go sleep through from, well, we come back around 8, I already in my bedroom, and 8 p.m. here is still 5 p.m. in my place. Because we got so tired, like yesterday, 13 kilometers of walking in downtown Sydney, I just flat down on my bed and slept after having a shower. I got so tired. But for some reason, even the second night I went back, 10 p.m., I was really happy. Oh, 10 p.m. I will sleep through. Well, if you got to sleep in a deep sleep, and I fall into a deep sleep, but by 11, I woke up again. By 11, I was like, just only 1 hour. I knew what it means to me, because God told me to wake up and pray. But even last night, I could not pray, in a sense of there's some struggling that I present to God. God, help me. Why will you not help me? And God comfort me so much because I pray around 15, 20 minutes only and start to open my Bible and start to read from the book of Psalm chapter 9 all the way to 16. 8 chapters. God comfort me so much exactly of what my struggling. Oh, I was so peaceful after that. Okay? But why God say no when we say, God, give me something? And God say, like last night as well, wait. If he say no, that's kind of cruel a bit. Many times they say wait. He didn't say yes. As simple as this, if he say yes, will you still come back to him? No, you will not come back. You got your candy, you got your chicken, you got your car, you got your house already. You will never come back. But when he say no, or he say, at least he say wait, you will still come back, you see? And then we come with that first pray without ceasing. We come to enduring prayer. We have these all the spiritual reasons. But one thing for sure, you will always come back to him. By the time he answered the prayer, without you realize, you stay so much close to him. Mm. And that's what all he wants. Mm. Amen. That's the thing we miss, the closeness with the Lord. That's why he keeps saying no. You know, I got this revelation back in the United States. I dare to my people, because it was our church, in the sense of I helped another friend to plant a U.S. church. I was the only Asian, I was even the only Indonesian. We got to 50 people. I said to the people of my congregation, you know what? Because of this revelation, I will say to the Lord, may he will not grant me my permanent resident, the green card. And he did. He got to go home. You know what? So I can learn to come again to him. Lord, why don't you help me? Why don't you answer my prayer? Then the next day I come again because I didn't see the answer. Lord, I keep bugging him. In a sense, one time probably God also, why do you keep saying the same word? But lucky or not, we are actually stay in a close relationship with him, and that's all he wants. You know, the Bible said, God close to the one who brokenhearted. That's a scary verse. Don't let your heart be hardened. Don't let your heart be one piece, all back, whole together. Let it in brokenness. And how will us to keep this in a broken pieces? We should let him, allow him, to allow everything that will break us. And that's the only thing that will cause the Lord stay close to us. Because that verse also say like this, if you don't have a broken heart, don't talk about God is close to you. Maybe you don't have him. See, we have to do this prayer. If Lord will do that prayer, he will probably know that Sodom will be destroyed at one point. He maybe will stay in Sodom in a little bit, but he should know that he better get out as soon as possible. If there will still time, he will only as well to bring more than only his wife and the two children. Because he still got time. But if it's just only one night before, it's too late. See, Rome chapter 8, verse 28 says God works in all things. Abraham did a lot of prayer, did a lot of altar, always call upon the name of God. So God is working on his behalf through all things, including the quarrel in chapter 13. To not just only separate him from Lot that caused him a lot of trouble, but actually God used that situation to bring Abraham away from the land where he will destroy. He got the time already. And because of the dispute, he likes it or not, he has to leave that land behind. That land, the Negev land, is part of the valley of Jordan where Sodom and Gomorrah were located. And the Bible is in chapter 13, like I said to you, it was the location where Sodom and Gomorrah were there before the fire. So through that situation, he was taken out already. So he was so safe somewhere out there. God didn't need to mention, hey, you need to get out. I was about to destroy that. God just used the whole situation. God works in all things, all mysterious things. Amen. So if you were Abraham, you should not complain at all. We should give thanks to him. Because many of us could not give thanks only because we could not see the future. How God shaped our future. if God will let me have my green card, I will definitely not be here probably. I will not go to these 15 different nations. I will become maybe one of the American preacher. But God always works in all these mysterious ways. All our responsibility is to have the altar.
Amen.
You know, if you call yourself a businessman, many of us as a businessman, we need this divine help to make a right decision for our business. I don't know in Australia, but in the people of my country, they like to go to meditate in the mountains to receive this divine help. You know, our divine help, where it comes from? Through our prayer. The very first thing you will receive through the prayer is not the blessing, is the guidance. Why don't we pray then for our business? If you say you're a very, very good businessman, you need prayer the most. Don't set up a prayer team. Don't ask your wife, you yourself. You are the leader, is it? You need to speak to the one who will lead you. Everybody that learns to be led by God and surrender everything to Him will evidently see God's hands in everything of his life. But it does not come in one prayer. It does not come through even an overnight prayer. It comes with a consistent prayer. An hour pray. Every day. Every day.
Amen.
To be honest with you, I keep one or two. I skip one or two days in a week just to keep myself not to be legalized. So I kind of still understand that this is all by grace, not because of my prayer. But as much as I can, five days a week or 6 days a week, I'll pray 1 hour. I like to pray in the middle of the day, actually, when my wife is at work, my son is at school, and I'll pray 1 hour. My prayer time is 9 a.m. in the morning, all the way until 11 sometimes, or 10. If I could do it more than that, I'll do it more than that. I don't really enjoy waking up in the middle of the night or waking up early in the morning, because, you know, we love to sleep. So don't disturb me, God. But that's the best place God likes to disturb us. He likes to take us out from our comfort zone. You get up and pray. And the funny thing is, He even controlled my nerve, in the sense of, I'm so sleepy, my mind could not be shut down. Have you experienced that? And all you do is close your eyes, but your mind is going everywhere. Might as well you sit down and start to pray then. So I pray. You need to pray. You like it or not. Don't tell your wife will not submit to you, because he will not see you praying. You know, the people who pray understand what it means, submission. And we can be the head of a family if we pray. And then when the wife see that we can submit to our Lord, she will submit to us. We lead by example, is it? We lead not like Mike Tyson with his hand. No. We lead by example. And the very first one that needs to pray is us. Not anybody else. You want to see breakthrough, both of you? You should pray. That's what I believe. You are looking for a breakthrough. You should pray. Don't tell this to anyone. Just pray. You will see your breakthrough will come. Pray, but it does not. Sometimes the prayer takes years. Came to Australia this year. I got my visa the very first time. Before you came, Kim and I were in the cafe next street, applying for Dina's, my wife's visa. Hope the answer will come like 3 or 4 days. By Monday, we'll probably know about it, but hopefully, she will get it as well. But I applied my visa, my own visa, on December last year, only because I found out there's a new policy between the Indonesian government and Australian government that you can apply visa online now without showing to the embassy, showing yourself to the embassy. Just pay some money, submit all the papers, documents, and everything they require. You got it. It's a tourist visa. And I'm really happy when I got it. But it's what I call as a 12 years prayer for this Australian visa. not even a consistent prayer of getting Australian visa. Because when I come back 2004 to Indonesia from United States, the very first thing we did that day is to apply Australian visa. Because my spiritual father happened to move a few months before I come back to Melbourne and pastor church over there. And I've been following him since 1993 and would like to come back to him again. But then I applied the visa, even my friend put like $30,000 into my bank account only to show to the government of Australia that I got money to go. You know, I got denied. And I got this rejection and bitterness to Australia, and I said, no, I don't want to apply anymore. And I didn't apply. I would say probably I didn't even pray to come, but I know the waiting is like 12 years before I got that visa last December. When I got it, I got so happy. I said, hey, God, I called Anthony the first. Hey, I got my visa, because we talked about coming to Australia, me and Anthony, since 2010. And he sent me all his papers, his passports, so I can give it as a requirement to the embassy. I just got no peace to start that process. Not until last year. So it's a waiting for me. You know, it's not just in Australia that got open for me this year. 2004, I come back from the United States. I always believe that's where I should be buried one day. That's a place where I should be a missionary and die one day in that place. Well, I don't know if it will come through like that or not. But when I come back, we started to pray that God will open doors again. In 2007, there was an opening for me, but we canceled the whole thing, so we didn't go. I actually got my visa back to US, the same visa. And then by 2012, it already expired. By 2012, I kind of forgot to pray about being in the United States. We were there for 2-3 years. I was there the first time, my son was 11 months old. Now he's taller than me. But only this year we saw the opening again. I was there in Hawaii this last March for 1 month. But we were waiting 14 years for that prayer to come to pass. God always listen, even though you might forgot the prayer already, or you don't want to pray about it anymore. Yeah, I experienced it. I don't want to pray about America. I mean, 2010, 2011, 12, I still pray about it. 2013, once in a while if I remember. If I'm in a good mood, I will pray about it. Practically by 2014, 15, 16, 17, I don't even mention the word America, United States anymore. I'll pray for other nations, like America next time. Blah. But then in February 2017, my wife suddenly sent me a text through WhatsApp and say like this, I kind of have this prophetic feeling. That's what she say. You know, feeling can be prophetic too. We are going to the United States, that's what she say. I was about to reply her and say, you are joking to me. While I was typing, you are joking to me. That's when there was another text coming at the same time. Less than five minutes after my wife's text say, Arnold, why don't you receive my offer to go to the United States? I was like, what is this? This lady actually offered me the 4 times to go to the United States. I kept saying no. You know, part of saying no because I got upset to the Lord. But then when she sent me that text, I got her text again, this lady. So I stopped texting my wife. I returned to her and say, okay, let's try. In the next 3 months, I got my American visa again. Same one, like, this is the third visa. B1, B2, 5 years multiple entry. That's the most you can get if you're Indonesian. Maybe Australian get 10 years. I got it by May. I will not go until the 3rd of March this year, 2018, when I apply, the consular said like this, why do you apply so quick? I said, this is my only time slot that is available to come to apply. I'm a preacher, I got a busy schedule ahead of me, I have to go to India, I have to go to Africa, okay. You come next day, get your visa. I got it. Praise the Lord. But when God opened the door, no one could close it. He even opened it with a big kick. Just watch out, the door will not hit you when he opens it. But God will never stop. If you pray, one angel will stand beside you write down everything. He will return to the Lord and say, this is the prayer of this lady, Lord. The Lord say, keep in the fold. At one time, don't forget to take it out, because in its time, I will answer it. All we need to do is to praise Him, and thanks to Him, give our worship, believe that God will never fail us.
Amen.
Because He will never fail us.
Amen.
Even if you stop prayer, God does not stop the time. The time will come. I have another message about waiting on the Lord. Timing is, you know, what it means to be patient. It's not how long you can wait, but how you will react in those time of waiting. Well, you need the prayer. You know, the focus of Lord should not be making money. It should be like Abraham building the altar. And it's not an easy task to do, because it could take hours, it could take days before he could perform the first ritual upon the very first altar he will build in one place. It's like our prayer. And our prayer is the most hard work, even compared to our 8 days of work or 8 hours of working. 8 hours of working will go that fast if you enjoy the work. But who can enjoy 1 hour of prayer, to be honest?
Sorry.
You laugh. Ask Pastor Paul or Pastor Mia. I honestly could not find any enjoyment. It's a very hard thing to do, to keep yourself in the prayer mood. Like, even last night, I decided, okay, let me read the Bible, Lord, because I'm really upset now. So just read the Bible. Well, that's part of prayer, of course. You could be in a good mood, saying you're 30, I have a 30-35 list of prayer that goes all around the world. But then I say, oh, why is it only 20 minutes? Must be the battery of my watch is wrong. No, you pray only 15 minutes. You should keep continuing until 1 hour. You know, don't pray with the feeling, oh, it's already 1 hour, I feel it like that. No. Put the alarm on for 1 hour. Don't stop and go, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, it's already 1 hour. Because it's difficult. It's like building the altar. It's difficult. Especially if God disturbs your night and make you, you know, you have to against the sleepiness. You can, hallelujah. Yeah, in the next 30 minutes. At one point, I fall like this, because I prostrate like what you did. And then I remember, so quick, pray 1 hour already. And then I sat down there, and I was like, oh, for 45 minutes I fell asleep. See, it's very hard. But let me tell you this. It is a much easier cross to bear if your cross is only against the sleepiness of the night, rather than to bear the cross of a very difficult day only because you are not praying that
night. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's what Lord miss. He miss the guidance that comes through the prayer. He can make a lot of money, be successful as much as he wants. That's what he miss. That's the one that also caused him to get attached to the world, because he has no prayer life. His eyes only look at the physicals, never looks at the spirituals. His love is all towards the money, not to God. You know, God will never compare himself to Lucifer. It's like us come against one small ant. If there's a small ant before me and say bad things about me, I will just go like this, die. It's like that Lucifer against God. But you know, the Bible say, Jesus say like this, that do not submit yourself to two masters, is it? The other master is not Lucifer. The other master is Mammon, which is the money.
Yeah.
And that's the very thing we ask from him when we come to him. Because all we define as blessing is the money. Whoever say when they say their prayer of blessing, whoever thinks of a deeper relationship with God. You are lying to me if you say yes. Because all you think and ask is qian. The Chinese word, people will say qian. Money. And that's all we consider blessing. And sometimes we even consider the more money we got, the more spiritual we are. That's a really, sorry to say, a bullshit teaching. Seriously. That's the very thing Jesus was tempted to, and now the preacher say from the pulpit. Now who is the devil then? Jesus was tempted, you bow before me, I'll give you everything of this world. And we are asking everything of this world to the Lord. And we say it's spiritual because we ask from God, not from the devil. God will give it to you. But many times when he does that, he will take you away from him. And maybe that's the reason most of the Christians are not rich. Only one or two. You know, one or two? Not because they are more spiritual than us. But probably because they have bigger responsibility. But whoever they are, they should be really careful, because you are playing with the nemesis of God. And if you are not careful, you'll end up like Lot, especially if you don't have any prayer life. What is your purpose living here in this world? I'm not looking forward to see Juan have a grandchild. I'm looking forward to see myself reigning with Jesus in a 1,000 years kingdom. That's my future. I'm looking forward for my reward in heaven. I'm looking forward how well I will be there.
Amen.
I'm the least within my family financially, but I know I'm the one that has the most in heaven.
Amen.
I told my mother, I could not make you proud now, but one day you will be one of the mothers in heaven that will stand in so much proud because you are giving birth to a prophet to the nations, not
Amen.
Just only one nation. So keep your laugh and tears in heaven.
Yes.
And it's all by faith.
Yes.
But what is your purpose living here? To be successful? To get everything? To have all this long life healthy? You know, that's not really a biblical teaching. Why do you want to live long here on this earth? Jesus prepared a mansion for you up there. We follow Jesus to escape death. That's a wrong teaching. I don't mean to say that you should go to heaven directly now, but but if Jesus is here, as physical as I am, and say, you want to come home with me? You say, don't ask that question. That's what my wife say. You always preach like that. You would like to leave me alone by myself? No, that's not what I mean. But see, if Jesus is here, he says, hey, come back home with me. You want to come? Do you want to come with Jesus? Back home to him? To his place? Hallelujah. See, we don't want, we hesitate. Why? We never consider that as our home. We should consider it as our home.
Amen.
Why? We don't have this prayer life. That's the reason. We don't learn to love him in the spiritual realms of him. That's the only way. Seriously, prayer is the only way to touch heaven.
Amen.
While you're still on earth. If you are not touching heaven, I don't believe you love heaven. Let's go back to the slide. God still saves Lot though, even though he has no prayer life. That's his promise to us. That's what we call the grace. But I wish he got this prayer life like what he saw in the life of Abraham. Abraham does a lot of prayer. He did not experience the acceleration. His wealth is slowly coming up because God's blessing. But that wealth stay until now, is it? We even believe that parts of the Western country, one of them are Australians. And I don't know if you, I do some readings in the internet that even Australia and European and America are the lost 10 tribes. They're the descendants. The actual Israel now that you are seeing only call themselves as Israel, but they're actually the Jewish people. And they are actually the southern kingdom, which is only the Benjamin, the Benjamite and the Judah. They are not the 12 tribes of Israel. They are returning, but originally founded as those two tribes only. They should call themselves as the kingdom, the country, the nation of Judah, not Israel. But when this Benjamin Netanyahu proclaimed it as a is even surprised when they proclaim it as Israel. They even surprised the government of the United States because they know they should proclaim it as Judah, not Israel. So if you see the time is keep missing about Jesus coming, that's maybe one of the reasons, because that's actually not the real Israel now. The real Israel, they say that the descendants of these lost 10 tribes are the Caucasian people now, most of them. And we all understand that the wealth of America, the wealth of Israel, coming from their father, which is Abraham. See, if you have this prayer life, you might not get accelerated. You might get all the trouble, like Abraham got the trouble from his nephew, have to go away to someone else. But you understand that the blessing will last forever through the generations.
Amen.
See, we are not chasing God for the money. Whoever did this is actually still worshipping himself, not God. It's an idolatry worship. Because you care about more of your needs than not His will. Many times we can easily say, it's not my will, but not your will, but we are not willing to give up everything. That's not a prayer. Be careful with the words you say in your prayer, so you will not mock Him to the one who you pray to. You should be the first that do the prayer, not just only saying it. Are you willing to give up everything?
Yes.
You were there in the Sunday service? Were you there? Go zero? The first principle, you need to go zero. That only comes through the prayer. At one time, I was so blessed by the Lord to have a job in Kuala Lumpur that the owner of the job, of the business, is a pastor as well, but a very successful education guy. And he flew me, I live in Batam, from Batam through Singapore sometimes, or sometimes through Batam directly to Kuala Lumpur. Every time he will pay everything, including the airfare, and work for him for 10 days and come back. And I did that almost in 3 years, 2.5 years. And very good money for Indonesian, because Indonesians are known as their laborers everywhere. Either in Malaysia, Singapore, or Hong Kong, or even in the Middle East. We are the exporter of people. Okay, official. So it's not like trafficking people, no. They do it official. And most of our people will work 30 days and got only around 250 Australian dollars in a month. I can come to work for this guy for 10 days. Every month, I got around $800. That's a good money, is it? And they do it for almost 3 years. I came to a point where, during the end of that 3 years, my ministry got really busy. I started to see God will start to open Africa and India. I ended up going more than 10 countries already in that 2015. Got really busy with the ministry. So the way I set it up, 10 days to work for this guy, another 10 days to do the ministry, and the rest will be for the family. Okay? I found out 10 days for the family in 1 month is just like 5 days the most. Because it's traveling that you have to do. between work and ministry and family. Don't ever do that. I found out that in those 2 years, between the 2013, 2014, 2015, this is towards the end of the third year, so it's kind of like 2 years in practically, because I started in 2013, not at the beginning of the year, but towards the middle. So I feel like, hey, when we moved to Batam, Juan was here. And after 2 years, he was here. So I was like, where am I where he was here? And then I started to, towards the end of that third year, I started to count all the days I will be at home. Found out during those 2 years and more, I am less than 6 months in the house. There's something wrong there. There's another message actually. But you cannot have the priority like this. Work, family, and God. When you got time, and then you do the Lord. When you got the money, you do the family. But work needs to be number one. No, that's so wrong. According to Genesis 26:25, Isaac, build the altar first. So God first. And then after build the altar, he will build the tent, represent the house, our family. And the last thing he will do, dig the well. Means the business, the work, and whatever resources you need to have. So it should be God first, family, and then business the last. Don't turn this around. That's the structure that you have to have. Don't turn this around. It should be God first, not the work. You better die hungry because you spend too much time of praying rather than that you have full of stomach. You got no time to pray. You will die because of that food. I never heard somebody die because of prayer or fasting. Well, that's the truth. But we are so worried. We are so worried. So I say, this is wrong. And I consult with my wife, which one do we have to abandon behind? Well, Dina got really upset to me when I decided I should abandon the work. He said, how stupid you are. That's a very good money for you and for us. That's the money that will support your ministry. So if I go to work, if I don't leave you, how? The ministry I leave behind? No. I'm here because of the Lord. Lord, come. I will never abandon him. I decided to quit the job. Seriously, it caused my bank account. No money, zero. I couldn't afford to buy breakfast. I couldn't afford to buy lunch. And not in Australia, in Indonesia. Indonesia is a very cheap place to live. And if you cannot afford something in Indonesia, don't talk about Australia. In Indonesia, there is a meal, chicken noodles, nice one, 35 cents, I just told kid. And if you don't have 35 cents, it means crazy. If you look at your bank account, it's so much sad and tears over there. Because you see a big zero. Have you ever emptied your bank account? I never emptied my bank account. It happened naturally. It happened because I spent all the money to the ministry and the family at the end of the day because I quit the job. I don't have that money. I canceled my trip to Africa. I called my friend. I have to postpone the trip. I didn't got no money. I quit the job around September, October. I canceled the trip by December. I didn't go until next year on April. So it's like about almost 8 months, 7 to 8 months. During that 7-8 months, I learned to pray more than 1 hour. I learned to pray consistently. Because I said to my wife, before my wife will go to work, she say, this is my money. You can buy lunch or breakfast. This is what I say to her, keep your money. I don't feel really good, the wife will treat me. At one sense, I say like this to her, well, keep your money, okay? I'm the provider. I don't want this guy switch around. Okay, if I got no money, I'll come to the Lord and sit down before him until he bless me, until he gives me some. If he will not do anything more than that, I'll still sit down until he do something. and he better do something, because not, if not, I'm gonna keep bugging him. Well, that's what I decide. I told my wife, you can keep the money and treat me for dinner whenever you got home tonight, after work. She'll be back around 3 or 4 in the afternoon. I'll go pick her up. And the very first thing I say to her, what do we eat? Because I'm really hungry. So we went to eat. During those times, my dinner is like 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. But in the morning, I'll skip breakfast, I'll skip lunch. And decide just to do the prayer. So after they all go to school and clean the house a bit, I'll sit down in the living room and start to pray. Pray. Nothing of a prayer unless you're... No such prayer like those days. And that's all come out because a zero account from that. You want to experience that kind of prayer? You have to empty your bank account. Seriously, no such prayer. It was really great time of prayer. And forcefully, God, you have to fast. I had to fast. But there's no money to eat, man. All I could do is, Lord, help me. Once, there was a time that God set up the ministry somehow. I got love offering. I could bring. I say, hey, I got some money. The very next day, I'm thinking like, which restaurant I have to go because I'm really hungry this time. Lord, sorry, but I go to eat first, okay? Tomorrow, when this money is gone, and then I'll pray again. Seriously, that's what I said to him, so I went to eat. But towards the weekend, we went to a church, and all of my money is 200,000, which is $20. It's two bills, 100, 100. Remember the money? Yeah. So put it here, put it here. Because I'm going to put it, my right hand, you don't give it your left hand in Indonesia, it's dirty, you have to give it the right hand. Put it into the offering basket, I still give 50% lah. And then the other 100,000 here, $10 enough for lunch for three of us. And then I heard the Lord spoke to me on that Sunday. Do you love me? I said, come on, God, I've given you 50% here. This is before the offering basket. And then I heard the Lord say again, do you love me? It literally means I know what he asked, all of the money. I was like, God, please give me a break. Help me here. You don't give me that much, now you ask everything again? The Lord say again, do you love me? I finally gave up and said, okay, Lord, I love you. I'll give everything. And before I do that, I go like this to my wife and say, hey, you treat me lunch. In my heart, you see, mock to me, Lord. But it's better that your wife mocking you rather than you decide not to love God. And love God is really means you give everything to Him. You can't say that. You can't say I love you, but you are stingy to Him. That's serious. Where is your money, that's your heart is it?
Your treasure is.
That also means money lah. Do you love him? Who never got a family here? May I see a hand, please? We got a young couple here. You have married? How long ago?
Yeah.
You look like still in love though. Let me ask you, do you buy her chocolate?
Yeah.
Do you buy her the cheapest chocolate or the most expensive one you can afford?
That's unhealthy.
It means the most expensive one, because that's the most unhealthiest one. I give thanks to the Lord, my wife did not like any chocolate, so all the chocolate I can keep until 20 years of marriage only for myself. Because I'm a chocolate lover. But we give the best. You don't give the cheapest one, does it? So you say you love the Lord, but how big the offering you are giving every Sunday to Him? How many of us, like I said to the Sunday service, will give something to this offering basket saying, I love you, God? And then you put some money here that you will never remember even when you walk out across that door. Why will you remember? Because we give so much. Why we will never remember? Because we never give that much that breaks our heart to Him. See, you can have that devotion if you have this prayer life of the altar. And the very first thing God will challenge you through the altar is you do what you pray. And the very first thing you will usually say to Him, God, I love you. And then God say from heaven, you know, really? Not talking about guidance. We passed that part already. This is about love. Not talking about the blessing. How much do you love God? That's a mind of which bill do you give here? Don't say all of them, just which bill. You give the $1 or you give the $100. In Indonesia it's really I don't know if I got that bill. Oh, I got this Indonesian bill here. See, in our country, $100,000 just only $10. That's how bad the currency is. But don't say anything about Indonesia. Indonesia is one of the richest people in the world. This is only $10. But we all understand, it's a picture of our former president, the very first one, and his vice president. These two guys, the one that proclaimed the Declaration of Independence in our country. Many of us understand like this, understand this joke. If you give this to church, you are living in the freedom of independence already. Because you are giving the freedom of independence here. But the 1,000, this is not 1,000, this is 2,000. 1,000, the old bill, have a prophetic picture as well, because it's a picture of the hero, one of the hero before the independence, they hold a big sword, a big machete. It's what we call the suffering time. So if you give that 1,000, this is 2,000, to the offering basket, you're telling God you're still living the offering. You don't have faith to be independent. So which bill do you give? The $1 or the $100? What's the biggest one here? If you manage to give all the time the $100, the next question to you, will you give all now, not just only the biggest one? Because that will really determine your love to Him. Oh, seriously, don't say like, I know it's a bit taboo to talk about money, but let me to be blunt with you, because the truth is always blunt. Do you really love Him? The way you pull out that bills before the offering comes to you determine how much love you give to Him. Because to our lover, we will never give the cheapest chocolate. But we see the Lord as an investment, that we will give the little to get the most out of Him. And we will not only give unless the preacher say you will God accept the double blessing. Of course, there is that promise for you. But we shoot for that double blessing and thinking no one will see. Hey, let me say this to you. Don't expect a breakthrough of the harvest you never sow. You have to sow first before you can reap something. And Paul say, don't deceive the Lord. If you have much, you should give much. If you have little, then you give as much as you can. Even then, the one that got little need to learn to give it all as well. That's really determine our love to Him. And that's only come first, of course, through the prayer. If you cannot give yourself into the prayer, I don't believe you can give yourself through the offering basket. Don't even mention go to the Bible school or go to the mission trip. It's a bigger sacrifice. But we all learn to surrender here in the altar. And that's what Lot missed at all the time of his life. He's busy making money. He got so successful, he got on the top, but he lost everything. I have a message about three kinds of rich person. We call the rich in the Bible. Let me say this to you. Is there any verse in the Bible that say, blessed are you that have money? No. The Bible only say, bless you the poor. I don't think Australians, you all know what it means poor. You come to my country and see what poor means. They are the one that bless, not you. That's what the Bible says. Don't switch that first by saying it talks about humility. Of course it talks about humility. But the real meaning of that verse only to be understood in the third world country. That the poor belongs to God, not the rich. Oh, don't worry. My message is the same for United States people. One time they invite me to preach in this home group, and the owner is much richer than your in-law. And all my message was like very hard, strong message. So I was like, can I switch my message, Lord? This is an opportunity to give a big love offering. But I still preach my message. I didn't know I got something or not. Back then, it was like 20 years ago when I was still in the United States. But hey, come on. That's all Lord means actually. He means one simple thing. I don't have time to pray. No, you should make time to pray. No matter what happened, you should pray. Don't give the prayer to all this grandma. Because you will not give all your money to them, is it? If your name ever being mentioned by them, you better give all the money to them. Because they are the one that do most of the work for you. So pray by yourself then. Everybody needs to pray. We cannot, there's no shortcut in prayer. There's no walking around. You just have to go through the prayer. Push yourself to pray.
Amen.
Push yourself to pray. Well, I have to say, there's nothing wrong to get all the money. The wrong is this. That money many times will cause you not to pray. So, back to my story. I got no money during those years, during those months. I finished the year 2015 with zero account, started the year 2016. That was the time of me moving to Semarang. And all I could do in this new place is to pray. Only on the April I could go to Africa. But by the end of that year, 2016, this is what I discovered. I went out to 6 different countries. To Uganda, to Hong Kong, Macau, Malaysia, Myanmar or Singapore, I forgot, there's one other country. And then I also discovered that during that year, I traveled more than 1 hour flight, so like 2 hours flight domestically, because Indonesia is quite broke open. And you have to fly, you cannot just run or swim. You have to fly, because it's quite a big country over there. You see that country over there? That's Indonesia. I'm right in the middle of the K Island over there. Semarang is central Java. Even to go my hometown is like 2 hours flight. And 2 hours flight is never cheap. 1 hour could be really cheap. Well, 2 hours flight is quite expensive. And I flew as far as almost to the Molucca's Island to down of south of Philippines, that close over there. It's like 4 hours flight. My country could go from the east to the west, 6 hours flight. And I thought, I got no money. We had this discussion, me and my wife, on December. Got no money. Why I could go as far as Africa and as often as I could? Where all that money coming from? Seriously, my bank account don't go that much, like God gave me a bag of money after the 8 months of prayer. No. It's just slowly. It's like the tap could not go that big. It's just tick, tick, tick. That's what I feel. But one tick from the Lord is more than enough. And so I said to my wife, the one that caused me to go is this me. One time I met my friend, and this is what I have to give to you all here too as well. I hope I can get it real quick. I'm gonna close it with this. What is that? There is one wording like this that says, I'm not lucky. It's a picture of a, you know, that emoticon of a prayer that we like to send in WhatsApp. That's not a prayer thing, that's a high five actually. Seriously, that's not a prayer. That's a high five that becomes a prayer to the Christian people that use WhatsApp. It says like, I'm not lucky. You just don't know how much prayer I do. I need. So that's all I can say. Because I come to see that through prayer you can do the impossible things. I've come to see not by money you can go. But your car has to go through the prayer.
Amen.
If you got no money, that's the best moment you need to learn the impossible task to do, which is prayer. There's one thing that is impossible for God to make you. It's you to pray. If you can pray, you are actually breaking the ground of impossibility first.
Amen.
Because prayer itself is impossible to do. Like, you know, waking up in the middle of the night. Even though I say I like to pray 9 a.m., I found myself, since those moments of prayer, the 8 months, I've come to find myself waking up again. You know, like the first time I got my calling 26 years ago, the very first thing I would do is waking up in the morning 5 o'clock every day, pray 1 hour. I was in high school. I could tell you another story that one of the main points of my prayers back then is I'm asking the Lord for wisdom. And I challenge God, give me wisdom. I will not study. I will come to church. If there's an examination tomorrow, I will come to pray for two, three hours. Because I believe God will give me wisdom.
Amen.
And He didn't answer me. He answered that prayer 10 years after. But I challenged God since then. That's why I wake up around 5 o'clock every day, 1 hour. Now after that moments of having no money, I found myself, I still have to say I changed. So I changed to become a night person, not a morning person anymore. But then after that moments of praying, moments of no money, I found myself like waking up in the middle of the night, 11, sometimes 2 o'clock, just to pray 1 hour. And as fast as I would like, the time flies by, those moments are the longest hour I feel in my life. One time, I thought I was sleeping, because I was just prostrate like you, kneeling to the Lord, and I try not to sleep. And keep saying, Lord, I worship you. I give thanks to you. Because most of my prayers are just only those two things. Worship and give thanks. Worship and give thanks. Especially because of the cross, the redemption that He did for us. That's our, His goodness for us. And then the next morning, I was so struggling that day, that night. The next morning, my wife saying, you know what? Last night, I saw you pray. I woke up in the middle of the night. I saw you because I prayed beside her. She was just sleeping. And I came to saw the Lord, that's what she said. That God was kneeling down beside you, put His hand on top of your head. While she was sleeping, she could sense the presence of God was so strong. Even though I was about to sleep, I didn't feel anything. I was like, oh, God was there. But you got to pray, man. You don't want to miss that. Your focus is not make money. Your eyes should not be on the money. Your eyes should be on Him. There's nothing else you need to focus to Him. If you would like to have a future, your dream or your vision, let it be with Him. I got one verse last night from I forgot which one, from chapter 8 to chapter 16 of the book of Psalms. But it concluded what I have been experienced, that I abandoned my future, like I say on Sunday. The future of the brain, the future of the money, because I come from a business family. But I actually not giving up my future, I just put my future into the one who holds the future.
Amen.
You know, if you say, how will I concentrate on my business if I spend so much in prayer? God will concentrate on your business. Because you will bother Him, He will send angels, or He Himself will take care of the business for you. He will run it for you if you're so much with Him. Why not? Prayer is the most important thing you need to do. Make it as your priority every day. That you will not come out from your bedroom unless you pray first. You will not start the day unless you pray first. If you cannot make it in the morning or during night time, make it during the day. Make up your time. Spend some time with Him. If you work for somebody else and your lunch break is the only time you can pray, it makes you available, skip your lunch. Better skip our lunch than I'll skip our prayer. Or before you go sleep, if you can stand all the tiredness, pray. Let's close our eyes. Lord, we surrender to you everything. Yes. You know, this is a hard topic to talk, Lord. But I believe this church is called to go back to their knees.
Amen.
To pray.
Yes.
Not for the purpose to get more from you. Not for the purpose to become bigger. Not for the purpose of being successful. But only as much as to be close to you.
Yes.
All the promotion comes from you. So we should seek you, Lord.
Yes. Yes.
Through prayer.
Amen.
We should seek you more than the promotion itself, more than the blessing itself. I know you have spoken so much into many of them tonight. You bother them, Lord, in your comfort zone. I will stop speaking on this topic, but with this topic, you keep speaking to them, even to the next few days, even to the next few months, or even to the next few years, until they consistently pray before you. And will not get out unless they finish the prayer. Will not get out unless that alarm make a sound of 1 hour already being done.
Amen.
And will not start the day unless they kneel down before the Lord. I pray that let them discover you in their prayer life. Let them experience you more than everything.
Yes.
Bless everyone here, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.